This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to another installment of Creative Impact. Each Tuesday, we take a look at some of the institutions, organizations, and people that constitute the creative industries in Washtenaw County, and we explore the impacts they have in different facets of our lives. Our content partner for this weekly feature is the Arts Alliance, and my co-host is President and CEO of the Alliance, Deb Pollock. Always good to see you.
Good to be back, David.
Using art as a means of bolstering health, that's the focus of Creative Impact today.
Yeah, I mean, it's an idea that has been around for centuries, but it took until the 20th century before it really started getting into the hospitals. And we're happy today to have Elaine Sims here from Gifts of Art at the University of Michigan, which was one of the very first programs in the country to actually bring the arts into a healing setting at the University of Michigan. Welcome, Elaine.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for the time today.
Just so folks know that there's nearly about half of the country's healthcare systems have art therapy programs within them. And most of them do that for really great reasons. They promote shorter hospital stays and better pain management and less medication. But that's what I know about reading about those sorts of things. Elaine, tell us a little bit about the U of M system.
Well, before I do that, I just have to clarify, because there is a general confusion. When we use the word art and that it is therapeutic, it becomes art therapy. And art therapy is a specific training and discipline with a degree and licensure. And that is one form of utilizing the arts in healthcare, but it is a clinical service. So art therapy, and that gets mixed up the world over, is not something I will talk about today.
Well, see, I learn it. We're learning, too. Thank you.
And you know, that's a hard one, because all these terms are so common. Our program began when our hospital opened its doors in 1986. As this hospital was being designed for many, many years, there was a desire to put an arts program in there. And that desire came from kind of a 6 degrees of separation thing and networking and how the world works. There was a program at the University of Iowa that began in 1978, so another very early program. Long story short, we modeled our program on the University of Iowa when it opened its doors in 1986. It's a wonderful story because as the field has grown, as you said, Deb, 2,000 hospitals now say they have arts programs, and many of them, that's art on the wall and not much beyond, but there are also other comprehensive programs. But we've begun by really sharing best model practices through professional organizations, meetings, consulting services, and just being very messianic about moving this field forward and providing these services to patients, visitors, and staff in hospitals.
At Michigan Medicine's Hospital, there are 9 different Gifts of Art galleries viewed by approximately 10,000 people each day. There are a number of different programs, everything from the art on the walls to bedside music programs, story studio, Friends Meditation Garden is part of all of that. There's a life science orchestra and a music component to all of this. How do those kinds of different programs work in concert with one another to actually improve or assist in the recovery of those in need?
Yeah, maybe you can give us a story or two.
I'd love to give you a story too, and I think the common denominator from all these is that art at its core is a basic human survival tool. It's very primal. Our response as humans to sound, the mother's heartbeat, to pattern, you know, what does our clan village look like? What are things that make us feel safe, make us feel sheltered and comfortable and calm? These are all components of the arts, whether they're visual arts, whether they're music. These are clues to social support. It's kind of like the Naked City with there are thousands of stories. Everything we do has a story that I really think helps illustrate. So thank you for asking for a few of those. One just happened very, very recently. The patient was a mother. The daughter came to visit her quite often. And here's something she wrote on a blog at Matawi Tile. If I have time, I'd like to read it because I think it really illustrates
the
power of art. So this is a young woman whose mother was our patient in oncology. She says, "Want to hear a feel-good story that will restore your faith in humanity and the universe? A few weeks ago, I was at a going-away party for my friend. At her party, I met a wonderful lady named Sarah, and as we got to chatting, I asked her what she did for a living. She said she works for Matawi Tile Works. I saw that name over and over as I would load onto and off the elevator at U of M hospitals. The particular company manufactured a collection of beautiful wall tiles for that hospital. My mother had quite an extended stay on the 8th floor while undergoing chemotherapy and stem cell transplant. We walked past that mural every day. There were good days when she cracked jokes, and we'd walk past the tile laughing our heads off. We would have some bad news to deal with, and we'd go for a walk and look at the mural. Again, Matawi. She would brush her hand on the wall and talk about the tiles that were her favorite. Their logo was always there at the bottom in the corners. I never knew how much that wall would mean to me someday. After my mother passed away, I decided to pay tribute to her by getting a tattoo of her favorite tile from the wall. As I told that story of my mom, Sarah's eyes welled up with tears. She couldn't believe how art could transcend through people's lives like that. I showed her my tattoo, and she took a picture. I told her that I would have loved to have purchased the tile, but it was out of production, and she waved her hand saying, no, I am going to find you one. If I can't find one, I'm going to make you one. What's your address? A couple of weeks later, this box showed up at my doorstep, and there's a picture of her holding a framed tile that matches the tattoo on her back.
It can truly be transformative, not only for somebody who is on the receiving end of art, but for those who are producing as well. I mean, that impact extends well out into the community. You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU with Deb Pollack of the Arts Alliance and Elaine Sims. She serves as director of Michigan Medicine's Gift of Art program.
So, Elaine, how does the medical profession, how did the doctors and the staff respond to this?
They've always responded quite favorably. I've never had negative comment from
anyone. No skepticism?
No, not skepticism. I think in the beginning, there just was lack of awareness of our program. But as time passed and our programs became more patient-focused and a lot more programs at the bedside of patients, bedside art, bedside music, story studio, the art cart, frame poster project on patient walls, people don't believe me when I say this, but let's say one of our musicians is playing for a patient at the bedside. The docs come in to do their rounding, as they do every day. And, of course, my staff stop, and they ask if, you know, they could come back later. More times than not, the doctors will say, no, you keep playing. I'll come back later. You're doing more good than I can. I mean, there is a recognition of what the music does and its importance. Nurses tell us that just hearing the music coming out of the rooms really helps calm them as well as the patients. But it works in other ways, too. And again, I have a very short story because there's a story for everything, right?
Of course.
This comes from one of our staff social workers. She says, Mr. G is a musician. In fact, music is his life. He was transferred to us for a heart transplant evaluation and was told that he would need to remain in the ICU until a donor could be located. He is a man used to being in control of his life. He immediately became a bear to the staff on the unit until the harp came to play. It made him able to better cope with his circumstances. I know that my job would have been much more difficult if it had not been for the role of music at his bedside during his stay. It not only relaxed him, but empowered him to feel in control of his situation. It gave him a clear base from which he could interact and feel comfortable. It brought him peace, and this is the key word, normalcy. I mean, what we're trying to do with the arts is to keep people grounded, keep them connected, a sense of agency and worth, you know, what they need to get through this very complex and disorienting and horrifying and frightening episode in their lives quite often. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that the art has the power to do. It assists the medical journey.
I certainly am glad that he responded to the harp that way. I fear that if I were in his position and I was in a hospital and I heard a harp playing, I might get actually frightened.
Because you were thinking it was like heaven.
Right, but would you hear the harp playing the Beatles, or would you hear, you know, Yellow Submarine?
In David's case, it would have to be the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, we can do that, trust me.
Well, I have one more question for you. Obviously, this is a program that has expanded exponentially since its launch in 1986, and will likely to continue to expand here. What is your goal for creating greater impact with the use of the gifts of art?
That's a hard question. I guess I'm someone who isn't a visionary per se. I've grown up with the field. I entered the field totally by accident as a much younger woman and at a good time in the evolution of this field, so I feel like I've matured with it. Now I'm a mentor and a pioneer or whatever. So I just would love to see more growth. And on any given day, for example, bedside music, we only have the resources to maybe reach half of the people on our list. And that's without really overly publicizing our program within the hospital, because we just don't have the resources. The same with bedside art, the same with all our programs. I would love to have the resources to provide more of these services. I would love to bring movement and dance at the bedside. Research shows that just watching such things is the same as if your body were doing it itself. So there's so much more we can do, and I'm just, you know, would love to see more of it and to grow with the research and the licensure and professionalism of the field, which outside of Gifts of Art, in my other hat in the national world, I have been working on for many years. So I do both. I work very locally in this, but I've also been very involved nationally with the field.
Well, thank you so much for leading and doing the work that you do and bringing joy and comfort to so many.
Well, thank you both for the opportunity to talk about Gifts of Art and Arts and Health.
Thank you very much for the time. That is Elaine Sims. We certainly appreciate her time today. Deb Pollack is president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, which serves as content partner for Creative Impact each week. And we thank you for your time today. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Yes.
I'm David Fair, and you're listening to 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.